I'm really excited about being here. I'm excited about the topic today and sharing these things. That life with God is and can be really, really exciting and fun and enjoyable and abundant, really, is what Jesus, the way Jesus put it. And looking at some of these stories, look at, and they're more than stories. They're stories, but they're like parables. Jesus spoke in parables. And one of the reasons I think he did that, little by little, we come to understand these things, is they're kind of like the word allegory is used in the Bible to tell a story. And I said this last week, it's about you and it's about me. I was kind of chuckling with Michael a few weeks ago, and Michael's just been, you know, blessed with this message and that message. And Michael said, it's about me. And I'm like, absolutely, it's about you. And it's about me too. And so I think really if we make the Bible, when we, you know, bring God in close and we make the Bible stories about you and about you and you, it just lights it up for us, lights it up for me. So this story or this event in Jesus' ministry is in Matthew 14, around about 24. And they had gone out, I won't read the place where they had gone. The boat, they had taken out the disciples. Jesus went off into a mountain by himself to pray. And the disciples were in the boat, and they found this strong headwind out there, battered by the waves and far from land, and just kind of skipping ahead. Early in the morning, like somewhere, I think the scriptures kind of indicate that it's like between maybe like 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., you know, in the wee hours. Jesus comes back to him, walking on the lake, and the disciples thought, you know, that's a ghost. And they were frightened, and they cried out and screamed for fear. Pastor Jim mentioned fear. We'll look a little bit of that later. But Jesus spoke to them. He said, be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid. And I think the Amplified said, instantly he spoke to them saying, take courage. I am. Stop being afraid. So that makes it a little bit more significant. And Peter answered him. He said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, the winds and the waves are blowing, and it's tumultuous and stormy, and just like, you know, the famous story beginning, it was a dark and stormy night, you know. But it was that kind of night, and Peter had to have probably yelled this out. If it's you, command me to come out to the water. You know, you can't speak softly in a moment like that. And so what does Jesus say? He says, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came toward Jesus. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened. There's the fear. And as he began to sink, he didn't even, you know, the Amplified doesn't even really say that he took his eyes off of Jesus. In a way, it actually says that he perceived and felt what his senses were telling him, what the outer world was doing, the storms and the opposition that came his way, he felt and sensed and perceived. And when that happened, it overcame his desire to move in the direction he was moving, and he began to sink. And he was frightened, and as he began to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me from death, the Amplified says, from death. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't think, you know, God never points a finger at us in a condemning or a judgmental or a critical way if our hearts are honest like Peter's was. And we're wrestling with this or that or this or that. He just says, well, why did you doubt? There was no real reason to do that. I'm right here. So Michael found this really cool and amazing painting by this Korean artist. Have you ever seen a perspective like that? I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of hard to see up here, but these are Jesus' feet. They're literally on the water, and you're looking up. And Jesus, there's a smile on his face that's kind of subtle, but there's a smile saying, come on, picking him up. It was a Christian artist, and we can't think of the person's name. I wish I wanted to, I didn't think to get that, write that down. But anyway, we tend to see this dramatic scene as historical and detached. This is something really cool and amazing or challenging that happened to Peter. But once again, the Bible is about you and me. The story is about us. And I want to kind of bring it to be about us. Even though Peter played out the drama in the story, it's about us. And I feel like that's really God's intent with these events in the gospel that are so, I just really enjoy bringing them to you. In the book of Galatians somewhere, I'll just give an example. In the book of Galatians somewhere, Paul was talking about the covenants, right? The old covenant of the law versus the new covenant. And he mentioned the two women that Abraham was involved with, Hagar and Sarah. And Hagar represented the old covenant, the old law, the flesh, and Sarah represented faith and the new covenant that where Jesus comes in and fulfills. And in Galatians, he says, now all this is Paul, all of this is an allegory. There's the word allegory. These two women represent two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, where the law was given, Hagar, and the other one is Mount Zion, you know, which is the mountain that we're physically or spiritually on right now. So anyway, going back to Peter, I just wanted to kind of bring out that a lot of this is allegorical for us, and it's deeper than just the historic drama that we see here. So it was Peter's idea to come to Jesus. It was a great idea. Anytime you have an idea to come to Jesus, it was a great idea. And I tell people this story. I said, it could have been, I don't know, it was water in this case. It could have been a fire. It could have been a pit of snakes or something, and Peter would have made it. But Peter had the idea to come to Jesus, if it's you, and this might sound like some kind of a testing of God or something like that, but that's not the way God saw this. Because you are walking into the presence of Christ, and Christ is coming toward you, and you're going toward him. And that is what we and who we were born to be. So Peter had the idea. Let's make this about us. Peter had the idea to really move into be the person that God created him to be by becoming, I don't know, just getting closer to God, to the Lord. So Jesus is all for that. And Peter, what happened is, Peter had eyes on the prize. He saw the prize. He saw the destiny, if you don't mind me using that word, that he was born to fulfill, right over there. And some of you might have a place or a state where you want to be. I don't mean a political state. I might mean a political state, but I mean like a spiritual or an emotional state that you want to move to. That's the prize for you, at least for now, and that's where God is calling you. That's good. Peter had eyes on that, but along with that, sometimes comes some frightening opposition, some resistance from earthly forces. Some resistance and opposition that seems frightening and appears frightening that comes from outside. That comes from outside the relationship that you have with God and the goal that you're trying to get to, and I'm trying to get to. So just see if this sounds a little bit more like your life than an exciting drama that happened in Matthew 14, which is very real, but your life is real too. Okay, Peter walked on water. He wanted to be where Jesus is and was. He had the dream. Today we might call it, he had a dream. He had a vision. He had a calling to do something great, to be something truly wonderful and great. I'll just put it in 21st century terms, to do something really cool. You know, really, that's what, but more than that, just to be where Jesus is. But they all go together. All that goes together. It's great to want to do cool things, but do it with God, you know? You can be more cool that way. So he had this dream and he had this vision and God and the Lord had no, delay. The Lord had no, well, let me think about that. Let's see. We got to get this together and that together. We got to line this up. We got to talk to these people. We got to call these folks before you become who you really are supposed to be. No. Jesus said, come. come and be who you're supposed to be. Come and be with me, and we'll make your life immediately what it should be. So he had eyes on that, and it started happening. It started, as soon as Jesus said, come, Peter started walking, and the whole thing started happening. He was moving in the direction that he needed to go. He was having complete victory in life. And he was not only getting closer to God, he was becoming the highest and the best Peter that Peter can be, because that happens when you move closer to God. So he was becoming the best Peter that Peter ever was in his life, the best of life, and the presence of Christ was right there with him. And he was getting there. See if this sounds like your life. Wonders were happening. You are finding things happening in your life that's just, wow, this is so amazing. This has never happened before. Peter can say that. You can say that. The joy was great because he was doing something so cool and being something so cool, and he was moving closer to God, and he was living the dream. And you know what? He was being the person of power that he was born to be. This is about you and me now. He was being the person of power that he was born to be. But what were his senses telling him or suggesting? The senses have a way of informing us what's going on in the outer world, and that's okay. But we can't let it govern the decisions we make. We can't let it sink into and become, we can't let it internalize into something that Pastor Jim talked about, fear. What was the outer world convincing Peter of? Let's make this sound a little bit more like you and me. How about words like, maybe this isn't the will of God after all. Maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe I overstepped it this time. Maybe I listened to the wrong voice. Maybe I'm making a crazy decision here. Everybody's calling me crazy. I have a news flash for you, and we titled this, it's really interesting. I was thinking about titling this, Have You Walked on Water? As a past tense. And Pastor Tom published it as, Are You Walking on Water? And when I saw him post it that, I'm like, that's even better. Are you now walking on water? Because my thinking was, you have all, in some degree, I would venture to say that you have all walked on water in some way or form in life already. You have all found things happening. If I can speak for you just for a second, you have probably all found moments where God was just like lifting you up, and you felt like you were just floating on above the ground, and those are moments where you were walking on water. And you've probably done that more than you think. But did we look around and down and saying, maybe within ourselves, this is just too amazing to be real. Your human logic may say something like, you know, this doesn't make sense, and it's so wrong, and therefore it's so wrong. Or this can't be right. Or this is too scary. Or this is unknown. Or here's another question. If you have a logical thinking mind, what am I doing to make this work? How is this happening? And I think these are all things that can go through our minds, and maybe Peter's mind, when we have that opposition, we can have a tendency to kind of think this through a little bit, maybe even too much. How about, can I keep this going? These amazing things that are happening in my life, this new job, this new relationship, this new place that I'm in, can I keep this going? God gave it to you from the beginning. You're walking on water with him. Or how about, I need to analyze this, because I want this to keep going, so let me think about how it's happening. Peter didn't have to do all that. All he had to do was keep the eyes on the prize. It's really simple. Here's another question. Was Peter waiting for the shoe to drop? The next shoe to drop. You ever heard that term? You won't, God willing, and I know he is, you will not hear me use that term anymore. Because I think Peter was waiting, you know, sometimes we have a tendency, maybe we don't, but I've met people that have a tendency to, when things are going like this and you're floating, you know, above the ground and you're walking on water and you're having these momentous experiences in life that you're like, oh, well, you know me, the next shoe will drop soon. Or they may say that, they may say something a little more subtle. But what you say inwardly in your heart to yourself is what is the real you. And do we say, well, I'm just waiting for that shoe to drop? Well, if Peter was waiting for the next shoe to drop, it's more than the shoe that dropped. The shoe dropped and the wearer dropped. God, listen, God doesn't force anything on us, including walking on water. If we want to let fear get in there, if we want to introduce a little shade of doubt, you know, I was going to say this later, but, you know, I love the song choices that Michael, aren't they wonderful? All God, you do impossible things, and that's true. But is that still true on Monday when we face a little bit of opposition? Do we still say that within ourselves? God, you do impossible things, or you do the impossible. On Monday morning, on Tuesday morning, you know, and this is to myself. So about that pesky shoe, throw it away and don't give it a second thought. It doesn't serve us to think like that, to expect anything. It doesn't serve us to let fear or questionings or second, you know, just keep eyes on the prize. Keep eyes on where you're going. Keep eyes on what God has called you to do. And it's different for each one of us. That's what's so really neat about this. Don't give that pesky shoe any credence. Give it no power. What happened after Peter got back in the boat? I don't know if it's in this story of Matthew 14. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Verse 32, right after Jesus said, why did you begin to have doubts, is the version I'm reading. When they all got into the boat, the wind settled down. Now, this is allegorical. It's true, but it's allegorical. We said it last week, and I have a little bit of those quotes here. John 14, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And I'll say this again, for Philip was still thinking of the Father being, you know, way out or, you know, somewhere, a Wizard of Oz that we had to go, the yellow brick road to go see. Show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words that I speak and so on. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or believe it. Believe me for the sake of the works themselves. And then in John 17, three chapters later, Jesus is saying, I pray that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and that they may also be one in us. Verse 23, I in them, and you in me. That brings God pretty close. Very close. So, knowing that, that's the same Jesus, what happens? The water, the waves calm down and the storm stops. I think the hint is that Jesus puts you in charge of this. If you're facing opposition, if you're having a difficult time, if you're seeing things from outside cramping into your world and cramping your style, you're in charge of the wind and the waves now because Jesus is with you and in you. See that. Make it your case. It's your faith. Jesus in you is in charge of the waves. I don't see any reason not to just assume that because of what we just read. I'm reading a book by somebody named Neville Goddard, and he said, structuring their world based on the evidence of their senses, they continue to perpetuate that which way they don't desire. Meaning that if you structure your world based on what you're seeing outside and the experiences, the fearful things you might be seeing, or even the good things out there that you're seeing, if you're structuring your world on that, then you're not walking in the power here. And this is what Peter did. He began to structure his world and his experience based on the evidence of senses, the wind and the waves. And he began to sink because of that. He began to wonder if he had made a good choice simply because he let that outside stuff influence his thinking about himself. Again, we sing all things are possible. I think we do that in another song, and rightly so, but are they still possible on Monday? My question is, do we say things or do we sympathize or internalize any spirit or any expression or thought that might subtly say otherwise? Very subtle. Do we say anything internally in our own hearts or to others that whispers something else? Those things that we quoted, you know, well, you know, knowing my luck, it figures. It is what it is. These little subtle things that we say within ourselves and to other people in our world causes the shoe to drop, and then it causes us to drop after that. We just don't have to do that. So he looked down again to figure out how this was happening, or why am I not falling into the water? Why is this working so well? Or Peter might have looked down in relation to where he was with his goal. That's another thing that I try to think of within myself. You know, it doesn't really serve me to look and see where I... They say when you run a race, right, on the track, you know, don't look around to see what others are doing or where they are. And just keep running, running and running at the speed you can run at. And don't look at anybody and just keep going, just keep eyes forward. And that's what... I think that's the case here. If I am looking as to... If my goal is there, if Christ is there... And my dream is there, and who I can really, really be is over there, and I'm making my way there, it just doesn't really serve me to see, well, where am I in relation to that? How are things turning out? Well, okay, you know, just keep eyes on the prize. Just keep eyes ahead. And I think these are, and if things are going well, keep looking up. Just keep going in the direction of where your heart is really, really wanting to go, because that's where the Lord is, because of Christ who lives there. Am I keeping eyes on the prize? I am if I don't allow those little sayings to get in. You know, it figures, knowing my luck. Well, you know how things go sometimes. I remember I had a pest control guy come to the house, and I at the time I was having a little problem with the my sink was leaking, and I had to call a plumber, and he saw it when I was trying to spray the stuff down there. And I said, hey, you know, it's okay. I have a plumber. I can call him and get that done. It's not a big deal. I didn't say all that, but I was thinking that. And he said, well, you know, it's one thing or another. And I remember stopping myself, and I didn't agree with him. I didn't disagree. But I didn't sympathize with that. I didn't say anything that it was in agreement with that. I'm just saying there's these little moments in life where you just, you can catch yourself. Don't give in to that. All things are possible, and that's true on Tuesday too. So again, this is not just about doing miraculous, unexplainable, cool things. It's about advancing toward Jesus, toward who and what we were born to be, who we were created to be, who God created, because this is the same Lord who created us, the very best and best in life that God has given us. So don't second guess or say cynical things to yourselves or others when you find yourself doing great things or things are wonderfully going your way. It's going to happen. Just the other night, or just last night, I went to see a play. I wasn't going to do that, and I was going to go to with a group to go have dinner about 5:30 before the play, but I was only signed up for the dinner. And the leader of the group encouraged me. She said, well, just step over. It's right across the street. So she said, step over there and see if there's a ticket available for that play. It was a fun play, and I did kind of want to go see it. And I said, well, you know, I guess I can't hurt just to go over there, and even though it was sold out, we had heard that the play was sold out. So I walk over there, and I'm like, well, I'm with this group, and I just wondered if it, you know, if there's a ticket that I can purchase if there was a cancellation or something like that. And I was in my heart, I was like, well, it doesn't matter. I wasn't signed up. I'm not a big deal. And the woman said, oh, I've got a, this is being recorded, but she said, oh, I've got a ticket that isn't being used. You didn't hear, just go ahead and use it. I didn't have to pay for it or anything. And I'm and you know, it's not me. This is God. This is just, life is this way. And I went in there with, there were two women that were coming in with me in the group. And they were like, oh, you did get to make it in. I'm like, yeah. And there was just one ticket that wasn't being used. And I turned back to the one woman and I just said, these things just happened to me. And so, full stop, just leave it there. These things happen to me, you know. It's cool. Life is good. So am I keeping eyes forward on the prize? Am I saying things within myself that just keep faith in there? If things are going well, just keep looking up. Keep going in the direction of where your heart's really wanting to go and do it. When things are going wonderfully your way and you are feeling like God is, you know, like you're walking on water, that's God's working in you. And, you know, looking for a shoe to drop is looking down into the water, afraid you're going to sink, or trying to figure out how it's working or why, or how, what I do to deserve this, even if it's good, you know, so on. Because going back to that, knowing my luck, well, you know me, so-and-so is going to happen before too long, or it figures. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? That's in there, if you're saying it. Our free will is at work again. So, you know, rather than speak and feel confidence, you know, especially within yourself, just do that. Joy and be excited when God does this kind of thing. And you'll be walking supernaturally on a regular daily basis. You'll just have God moments every day. The last couple things I want to mention is Pastor David a few weeks ago mentioned something pretty significant that he's the second preacher that I've ever heard talk about what Job said. Job said in chapter 3 and 25, he said, the thing which I greatly fear comes upon me, and that which I am afraid of has come upon me. This is what he quoted, but he didn't have time to get into this and post this. Allegorical. It's allegorical, and it's about you and me. What Job did was he had these fears, and there was Pastor David said there was a little bit of opening for the devil to come in and use that, jump on that fear, and that's what happened. We have a free will. And that's how loving and that's how wonderful God is. We have a free will. If we want to let fear rule, it just can. He said a few other times, Job said, a calamity from God was a terror to me, and because of his majesty, I could not endure to face him and could do nothing. So, I don't know, maybe Job had that idea about God. So, another time, Job... just the third thing about Job is that Job, bless his heart, he would get up in the morning and he would say things like, well, maybe my sons have sinned. And just in case they've sinned, I'm going to offer this sacrifice. You know, it was just living with, yeah. Thus did Job at all such times. If things are happening and you're walking on water, you know, what if this happened or that happened and what then? Or this is going too well or can't be right. Or well, it figures, you know. I had someone, a friend of mine, super nice guy, make his way up to Asheville a few weeks ago. I don't know if he's going to hear this or not, make his way up to Asheville on 26. And 26 was nice and clear, and he was, you know, zoomed up to Asheville pretty quick. And he said, we met for dinner downtown, and he said something like, well, this just can't be right, you know. And I'm like, no, yes, it can be right. Totally can be right. Here's another odd analysis or a thing you might think about. A lot of us have pets, not all of us, but some of us have beloved pets. And I have some cats, and some of you have dogs maybe. And every single time I encounter them or, you know, spend a little bit of time with them, I want to engender trust and treat them with gentleness, faithfulness and respect and honor and joyful love every time. Right? There's not one time that I want to, even in my inner speech, I don't want to do or say anything that contradicts a heart of love toward them or your children. Well, do that with God. You know? I'm not saying that God's like a pet, but God, we love God like we do our pets. And we treasure every encounter with God in a precious, loving way, just like that. Say things that appreciate who He is and appreciate what God has done with you so far. So it's really no different in that sense. But it's even better, really, because of the wonders that come out of the relationship that you have with God. It's just much better than any relationship that you might have with a pet, as good as that is, or even a family member. But don't feel or express anything inwardly within yourself. And this is to me, I'm saying this. Don't feel or express anything inwardly, especially inwardly, where Christ is, that is not consistent with all things are possible. Right? Why do that? Take care not to... James said the tongue, control the tongue. And I suspect that he also meant that to be internally within ourselves. Because what we say within ourselves is the real you and me. So don't say or express or even feel inwardly in your heart where Christ is that is not consistent with all things are possible. If we do that, we're looking for a shoe to drop. And guess what else drops? The one who drops is us. And we don't have to do that, but thankfully we have Christ to lift us right back out of that immediately. So don't do it in the beginning. Don't do it to begin with, but we do have Christ to just pull us right back up where we should be. And then we just pick up where we left off. All right, well, let's stand together, if you would, and we'll be dismissed. Paul said, and I echo this, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us believers. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. And the church said, Amen.